The problem is the composite normally will cost, Brian, 50% more than the steel. And if you use a carbon fiber, like a Formula One car or some of the automobiles nowadays, it costs 400% more than the part made out of steel. In the beauty that we developed within Fras-le, the composite material will cost almost the same as the steel. So you still have all the benefits, but we change the cost-benefit equation. And that's why we are very excited about it.
Welcome to Coffee Break, the official podcast of The Break Report. Here we dive deep into the world of brake technology, bringing you exclusive interviews with industry leaders and insights into the companies shaping our future. Let's get started. Welcome. I'm Brian Hagman, and my guest today is Sergio Carvalho, CEO of Randon Corp and Fras-le Mobility. Thanks for joining me, Sergio.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Brian, for the opportunity to be with you today.
Yeah, now I'm looking forward to the conversation. So the first thing I want to talk about is, so Fras-le has undergone a pretty significant, I guess, transformation or rebranding not too long ago with, I guess, the introduction of Fras-le Mobility. So can you share some insights into, the, I guess, the strategy and, I guess, what the significance is of the new, I guess, the new entity?
I would say that we had mainly two major objectives associated with the name change there, with the creation of Fras-le Mobility. One is the fact that Fras-le used to be a friction material company, historically a friction material company. Over time, Fras-le ended up growing and acquiring companies that operate in a different space. So we had a difficult when we say Fras-le to refer to friction material versus the mother company that owns Nakata, Fremax, Armetal, and many others. So we had a need to differentiate again friction material products and brand from the mother company. And Fras-le Mobility was created with that purpose. But not only to separate. So the Fras-le name is still there as a friction material leader company. Fras-le Mobility, the mother company, and all the other companies are again part of that umbrella. But also to capture, the second reason was to capture this different moment in the history of the company. So the company is no longer the same. Some of you may be following us, you agree with us. So we want a name that could capture this new momentum, and Fras-le Mobility came to address that too.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I know from a financial perspective, you know, 2023 was a very good year for Fras-le Mobility. Can you share some insights onto, I guess, what helped contribute to the success of 2023? And then also, do you see that momentum continuing through 2024?
No doubt, 2023, although we have not closed the books yet for the full year, 2023 was a great year for Fras-le. And just to recap, Fras-le, it is in a fast growth mode, improving results, not in 2023, but for many, many years in a row. So this is another great year in this journey for Fras-le. And our expectation is that we'll continue to post in the years to come very good results. And where this comes from, going back to your question, I think Fras-le has a very good business plan and vision of future, very good strategies, and is executing very well on its plan. Normally, internally, we say you can be a visionaire, you can be the best strategist, but if you don't execute, you got nothing. You know, you just have a beautiful PowerPoint presentation that lead you nowhere. And the reverse is also true. I mean, you can execute in very well in a bad business plan, and that will get you nowhere too. You need to have a good vision future, have a good strategy, and deliver. You need to do year one, year two, year three, year four, and that's the way we do it. So Fras-le has these characteristics, a very strong team executing on his plan. So from the sales revenue, all the expansions, the numbers continue to grow and get better. But also on the costing side, consolidating distribution, modernizing operations, more automation, gains in productivity, synergies among all the units. towards maximizing footprint. So I would say we don't have one silver bullet to say this is the reason why the results are so good. I mean, we finished Q3 with over 21%, 21.4, if I'm not mistaken, percent EBITDA.
Wow.
And this is result of all of these things combined.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. Now, was the growth, did you see growth in your region specifically, like in Brazil, in the area, or was a lot of also the growth, I guess, internationally or into other markets, or was it kind of a combination of just all of that?
I think from the absolute value standpoint, we are growing in all directions, but relatively speaking, since we have made in the past acquisitions here in Brazil, we have reduced the percentage of revenue that comes from international markets. But our objective, it is to go back to have more than 50%, 55 to 60% of our revenue coming from international mature markets. And that's the reason why we did exactly a year ago, we acquired Juratek in the United Kingdom. And that's just one example. And certainly we're working on other expansion projects as well.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, that was my next question, was going to be the international market side expanding. I know you could grow organically in other markets, new markets, introduce the new products. You could execute some acquisitions like you talked about Juratek. And I know you also acquired Freemax a few years ago as well, I believe. That was a Brazilian company, I believe. Is there a specific strategy? Is the organic growth versus the acquisition, is there pros and cons of either one, or do you have a specific strategy with Frasley on what you're looking to do as far as growing internationally?
We believe that internationally for us, it is easier to go through acquisition in the first moment. And moment number two, then we grow organically by adding more products to that distribution channel that we acquire. So in most of the acquisitions that we are seeking, they are companies that they have a brand in their markets, in large, mature markets, where we could add our other products to that distribution that's already there. So first moment, it is, again, just M&A per se, it is the acquisition. But if we don't see synergies, administrative synergies, product line expansion potential, Juratek is a good example. For instance, they had a lot of brick products, which are similar to what we have in other geographies. But they didn't have suspension products. Now we are taking Nakata shock absorbers. We are taking Nakata suspension arms and bushings and so on and so forth. So now we are filling more, expanding the portfolio that Juratek offers to the market over there. So that's moment number one, acquisition. Moment number two, organic expansion.
This episode is brought to you by Hagman Search. When it comes to finding top-tier talent for your executive team, Hagman Search is a name you can trust. Not simply a recruiting firm, it's your strategic partner. Go to hagmansearch.com to learn more. It's kind of got me thinking too, what makes a potential acquisition attractive to, say, Frasley specifically? I know you mentioned a few of the pointers there with Juratek. Is it truly financial? Just, you know, the bottom line is this company is looks like they've got potential to improve profitability. Is it, or is it more like just the product mix in general that looks like a good fit? Is it ownership, or is it just all kinds of different factors? And it's just kind of a case by case basis.
I would say that the root of it is the belief that we have that we need to grow fast and be financially strong in order to succeed in the long run. We are operating in an environment where all the technologies are changing at incredible speed. Every time we see more changes happening in cycles, which are shorter, shorter, and shorter. And we have to invest much more than 10 years ago, we would say. So in order to succeed in this environment, we need to be strong and operate more and grow fast. So what is the best way? Acquisition, if you do it properly, it is the easiest way, the fastest way. If you go, let's say, to a different geography and start a greenfield project, it will take many years for the market to recognize your brand, you know, start getting results. So the easiest thing aligned with our vision is that making acquisition, it is the best thing to do. But we need to do, a lot of companies make acquisitions and they destroy value as opposed to create value. And quite frankly, within Fras-le Mobility, I can see these acquisitions became a core competence because we have a wonderful story, wonderful track record. We acquired companies in Uruguay, have been very successful. We acquired Fremax 4 years ago, and now the company is, we multiplied the EBITDA by 4 in 4 or 5 years. We acquired Nakata 3 years ago. We acquired 500 million Brazilian reals in revenue. And the last year was like $1.2 billion. We acquired 63 million reals in EBITDA. And we delivered in 3 years 210 or 220 million Brazilian reals. So every acquisition we make must have a lot of synergies. So financially, they are all success stories. And the team developed this expertise. So if you can make an acquisition and get to the market fast and improve the top line, improve the bottom line at the speed that we are improving, why not continue to do what has been very, very successful?
So I want to talk about maybe the product and technology. You know, with the mobility segment, you know, innovation is key, obviously, to continue to grow. Are there any new technologies, any new products that you're excited about or that you can talk about coming from Fras-le Mobility?
A lot of new things. Fras-le owns part of NIONE, which is a joint venture with the mother company, Randon Corp, which operates into nanotechnology. And it is still very young company, but the nanoparticle nanotechnology has wonderful properties in many different spaces. For instance, in July last year, we started painting our brake rotors that goes to USA with this nanotechnology and painting, and it improves the salt spray resistance, the corrosion resistance 3, 4, 5 times, you know, and with all the salt on the highways in northern U.S., this is very important. So, but you can always improve mix with the steel or castings, and you improve the mechanical properties of the parts as well. So we are very excited about the future products that we are going to bring to market using this nanotechnology. And this is just one example. But as Fras-le, we launched Compos, our smart composites operation. It's also 2 years old, very young, but we already won new business with making materials components, replacing steel basic components with composite materials. This is nothing new, but normally you save 50% of the weight, 60, 70% of the weight. I know a case of up to 80% of the weights. The problem is the composite normally will cost, Brian, 50% more than the steel, 100% more. And if you use a carbon fiber, like a Formula One car or some of the automobiles nowadays, it costs 400% more than the part made out of steel. And the beauty that we developed within Fras-le, the compost business unit for Fras-le, is that the composite material part will cost almost the same as the steel, if maybe a little bit more, but 10 or 20% more, depending on the part we are talking about. So you still have all the benefits, but we change the cost-benefit equation. And that's why we are very excited about it. So we have projects. We are in production and we are expanding the business, and this is going to be in a 5-10 years horizon, a large part of the Fras-le.
Wow. So with that composite technology, is it specifically for braking, or can you use it in all sorts of different automotive and transportation components?
No, we are actually it's not for braking. We are using it for structural components. So if you look at anything that is structural in a truck or in a car, you can use it this time.
Oh, wow. That's great. I want to talk about, I guess, transition to another market. So on this podcast, I have focused a lot on the automotive side with a lot of the different previous guests, but I want to talk a little bit about the rail segment, because I'm not extremely knowledgeable of this industry, especially within, like, say, the friction side of the rail industry. I know Fras-le does service this market. Is this a growing industry, the rail segment? Is it in decline? What do you see the future with Fras-le within the rail segment?
It is an important segment for Fras-le as a part of its strategy of diversification, to not rely just in the passenger cars or trucks, if you will, but it is not a large segment for Fras-le. So we started participating in this market maybe some 10 years ago, 15 years ago. We are the leaders in South America already, and we start participating in North America as well, a little bit in Australia. We have developed new formulations that has everything to do with sustainability, eliminating the use or reducing in a meaningful way the use of resins. It is not going to be a large part of the Fras-le going to. It is important.
Sure. And is there a difference between the, say, passenger train, commuter train market versus, say, the freight trains carrying raw materials, finished goods, or is it kind of lumped in together? Is it the technology, the products, is it all kind of the same?
No, they are quite different. More on the passenger trains, you normally have higher speeds and you have brake pads and, you know, disc brakes on those vehicles versus drum brakes on the cargo side of things. So it is a different color. A higher average speed, you need to dissipate more heat, if you will. It is quite different.
So before we wrap up here, I want to talk about, I guess, kind of the future. Where do you see, I guess, automotive, trucking, this commercial vehicle segment? How do you see the market evolving over, say, the next, I guess, 10 years? And then where does Fras-le Mobility kind of fit into that?
First of all, we look at ourselves as a consumer goods type of company, not capital goods. A lot of, let's say, financial analysts look at us and try to compare us with the capital goods. And for the majority, you know, 90%, 88% of what we do is more on the consumer. And we like to operate with product, which has a lot of wear. And, you know, from time to time, you need to replace. So we start with friction materials that, of course, they would wear out and you need to replace. And it is not some product that you can say, okay, I know I run out of brakes, but I'll wait until 3 months that then I'm going to replace my brake pads. You are forced to replace. You know that's your life, your safety. So we move from friction to drums, to rotors, to wheel cylinders, master cylinders, and we have all the braking system, if you will. And then our next question was, okay, what is the next best? And our conclusion was suspension. That's why we acquired Nakata. Now we have shock absorbers, suspension arms, and bushings, and other components like steering for passenger cars. So we have diversified quite a bit, but all products that are components, like if you run out of steering, your steering is not good. I guarantee you, Brian, none of us will drive your car if you don't feel safe with your steering. So you are forced, compelled to replace for safety. That's the kind of product we like. We supply OE, but we, for each brake pad we supply to OE, we sell 7 times more, 8 times more in the aftermarket. That's the ideal for now. Suspension is not the same ratio, but it's the same sort, if you will. From that standpoint, we see our future very bright. We have a strong presence in South America. In North America, we are very strong on the heavy side, but we are almost zero on the passenger car side, U.S. and Mexico, North America in general. So in the mature markets, we have lots of territory and markets to explore. So we feel very confident by continuing to have a good vision of the future, good strategy, good execution. The market's out there for us to capture. And we feel pretty good when, you know, big company's name is starting to reference us and say, well, I need to watch those guys. Look at what they are doing. Try to emulate our model. So we're feeling pretty good.
That's great. Well, Sergio, it has been a pleasure. I appreciate your time today. It was good catching up. Look forward to doing this again sometime.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you all.
This is Brian Hagman, host of Coffee Break. I want to give a big thank you to today's guest and to all of you for tuning in. Until next time, let's keep breaking stuff.